This is Agriculture Today over the K-State Radio Network. We begin the Friday edition with our weekly look at the activity taking place in the grain markets. While the USDA released a series of reports earlier this week that didn't really indicate a lot of drought impact on U.S. corn, soybeans, grain sorghum, or other crops, K-State Research and Extension grain market economist Dan O'Brien says that more areas of the U.S. are starting to experience drier conditions.
We've continued to see dry conditions perpetuate in some pretty important parts of the U.S. Corn Belt and Pacific Northwest, particularly the Northwest with its crops is really being, quote, hammered, Jeff, as you look at how dry things are. But if you look at the weather conditions the last 2 weeks in particular, you see an awful lot of very, very dry conditions, basically all throughout parts of Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, on up into the Dakotas, et cetera, even out into the Central and Southern Plains where we're at. And the good part of that is that it's just about done away with any concerns about an early frost. But all the concerns that were being expressed by people coming into that September 12th report, they're again wondering just how the official set of numbers would reflect that in terms of dry conditions affecting the weight of ears and how we, quote, finish out the crop. All those haven't been alleviated with the dry weather. So dry weather here, and in particular when you start getting into parts of Iowa, Illinois, and other important areas of the U.S. Corn Belt, you're getting into the very heart of our production areas. So we're not in the mode of wanting to bang the drum too heavily that, gosh, we have drought conditions and things are moving along, because, again, we've had really pretty good growing conditions, surprisingly good this year, and are looking for likely a U.S. corn crop that is still in the, well, as the USDA projected here recently, 14.1, still 13.9, 13.8, something like that, even if we have lower yields, probably still in the cards. But the dry conditions are likely to have some impact on the outcome of this year's corn production scenarios and also on the market. I would say when you look, well, again, coming out of that report, the big issue had to do in particular with the corn number. And the USDA maintained this basically a 165.5 to 170 bushel scenario that it's in, again, actually raising the yield up to 169.9. And if you weigh the likelihood of that number being the final number that we'd see this year, it's probably at least 50%, 55%, something like that. Again, we'll see what we have for U.S. corn production when we get in the fields well, we're starting to see it happening now in the southern states, but in particular in October and cleaning up in November, we'll really see what we have. Wouldn't be surprised that there's still a possibility of by the time we actually break into fields and see things happening, still some not inconsequential likelihood of yields closer to 167, even the possibility of something lower, but probably 167, 168, taking, and again, if that comes about, given that we're probably not going to see a major shortfall in lost acres or anything like that, that we'd be looking at something below 14 billion bushels in corn, 13.9, or something along those lines. It'd be a major surprise to see anything less than that, given where we stand right now. But look at that. You'd see some relief in prices. Again, the USDA came out with their price projection for this 17-18 marketing year that started September the 1st, looking at a U.S. average corn price of $3.20, which is it's below almost everybody's cost of production. And if we do get a little bit shorter corn crop, we're getting closer than to $3.50 probably for U.S. average price for corn. And the opportunity, of course, with better demand to even come up higher than that. But at least for what we're looking for right now in this harvest time period, it looks like we're heading for some variation, either more or less, of a large crop scenario. Again, no short crop scenario really on the horizon. So it looks like we're heading for more of a, I guess, typical pattern of low prices at harvest and then farmers storing grain for some period of time and then seeing what we have in the spring as we move forward.
There was virtually no change in the wheat numbers, and that may be because they're waiting for that report that's going to come out on the 29th.
Yes, the annual small grain summary report will come out at the end of this month, and the USDA, it's just notable that for all their domestic numbers, there was no change, and nothing touched, quote, but there are changes to come. They'll be reported by the USDA in that report at the end of this month, and again, that's the report in which they do extensive surveys. Actually, the hard red winter wheat crop and soft red winter wheat crop long ago harvested. The hard red spring crop also pretty much in the band by that time. So they'll have pretty much final numbers, and that'll set the stage for where we go. I do think, Jeff, that, again, our decision right now has to do with how many acres do we plant for the coming year. And in Kansas, for hard red winter wheat, there are all manner of dire predictions, you know. And if you say, well, gosh, I think we might be down 5%, you're probably on the conservative side. But I think we'll be weighing a number of issues. Again, how much moisture do we have? What are the price prospects for other crops? And they aren't necessarily rosy at the moment. Again, in a local area, have we had wheat streak mosaic problems or not, et cetera. One bit of good news, actually, when you look at some of the reports now on a geographic basis of where we had relatively good protein levels for the Kansas wheat crop, you look at parts of southwest Kansas, and really in the southwest corner of the state, we had proteins of 12% or better recorded by, it's a report made up by the Plains Grains Incorporated groups, kind of a consortium of different wheat associations and other groups that support that. So we had some pretty good protein levels, really, some decent protein levels in the southwest part of the state. The overall number came in statewide, you know, given the weaker areas that we had thrown into that, and probably the weakest areas this year anyway, came in the very south-central part of the state, and down into Oklahoma and areas like that. Our average protein level by this measure from this group came in at about 11.4%. That would be up just a little bit from the 2016 average protein of about 11.2% protein. Test weight came in at about 60.8, just up marginally from what we had last year. So, again, the average number is just so-so, but we did have some geographic areas that stood out. And, frankly, that I think that explains some of the basis peculiarities we were seeing in the state in the last several weeks, where actually some basis levels for wheat coming out of southwest Kansas were as good or better than what we were seeing in the central part of the state. Well, you know, again, buyers of wheat that are anxious to buy as high a protein as possible for the sake of what they're processing from that wheat knew where that crop was, bid up the prices that reflected in the basis bids, and came up with a better situation than we've seen otherwise. So with that in hand, some of the areas that had that success might be a little more inclined to grow wheat this coming year, particularly if they have decent soil moisture in their particular cropping system and feel they can make a successful go of it.
And we did see some positive action in the soybean markets this week.
Yes. Soybeans on the future side on yesterday's closes were up 15 cents. And we did have some decent exports. Again, about 42.3 million bushels, down just a little bit from the pace needed to meet the USDA's projections for the coming year. A lot of the explanation that we are hearing from the market is that, again, we have dry conditions that are emerging down in South America and affecting plantings of soybeans down in that part of the world. So, again, already we're not even into the heart of our fall crop harvest. We're already worried about what's happening in South America. I would say there are some signals of major, well, again, I guess we call it the perpetual back and forth on weather patterns. Again, we go back and forth between El Nino patterns and La Nina. It does look like at this time we're heading off into a La Nina pattern. And if we understand the impacts on that, of what that may have on crops, it would point towards a little bit drier set of conditions heading off into the early part of 2018. Well, we'll see. You know, it's too soon to probably make any projections for 2018 based on what we're anticipating perhaps to happen now. But I would say that, again, the large crops that we've been having year after year after year are supported by our weather patterns, and who can question that eventually some of these weather patterns would turn around and it would affect us. But as of right now, we seem to have large crops coming, and we're struggling with low selling prices heading off into the fall months of this year.
Any advice then for producers? What should they be looking for?
I think that we'll be gauging our store versus sell decisions at fall harvest. And, you know, this $3.20 per bushel U.S. average corn price, it would be quite a shock to have to absorb for many folks. And people that have cash flow needs will probably look, if they don't want to sell at that low level of prices this fall for corn, and it would affect grain sorghum no doubt as well. We have marketing loans that we can use to generate cash. We have storage that we can look towards. And with that, we'll just wait and see what happens. Probably in a case like that, if we store a good amount of our fall crops, then for the United States' sake, dryness in other parts of the world, particularly South America, that could support prices would be a great help.
That's K-State Research and Extension Grain Market Economist Dan O'Brien. For more information on the activity taking place in the grain markets, go to www.agmanager.info. Agriculture Today is back after the break. This is the K-State Radio Network.